Welcome to another episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. I'm James.
I'm Sarah.
And on this week's episode, we're going to talk about code switching, DE&I, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion. And then I wanted to talk about some fun, hilarious, stupid things that just happened recently in the news.
Oh, God. Okay. All right.
But first, how are things going, Sarah?
They're going pretty well. I got to meet a former Secret Service person yesterday.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes. So, and he's actually in the museum as well. Like,
as an exhibit?
He's part of an exhibit, yes. So, LBJ's car after he left office, his Lincoln Continental that I have spoken about before that people jump into when they're drunk. I found out recently Woody Harrelson also banned from the museum because he tried to do the same thing. So anyway, but when LBJ left office, that was the car that he got. And the person who drove him in that car was one of the Secret Service men. And that Secret Service man came in yesterday to visit the museum. And he has a video of him talking about driving LBJ's car. And I happened to look at the plaque that we have for the car. And the link to his video is on the plaque. It mentions him by name as a former Secret Service person.
That's fun.
So I can send you the link to the video on the YouTube. But yeah, that was pretty nifty. And other than that, it's been me and Bobby hanging out because Nick and Horace are in Florida. Yeah, that's about it. Just work and hanging out with Bobby.
Well, that's fun. Have you heard anything from your other interview?
Not yet. If I haven't heard anything by Monday, I'm gonna either email or call the person I interviewed with and see what they say.
That's good. Things are going okay. I have a really big paper that I have to do this week, so I need to start working on it. I haven't started yet, but I need to because it's like 4 to 5 pages, and it's about we're pitching a presentation on an education centric issue or topic that we want to discuss.
Okay.
So we are acting as though we are trying to get to like a speaking engagement where we're talking about a specific topic. So we have to submit a 4 to 5 page paper that that talks about the like what we want to talk about. So that'll be interesting. But one thing I wanted to talk about is, well, there's two things, but one of them is the massive like blow up that happened during a House committee meeting yesterday. Have you seen this?
No.
So it was between three people mainly, and it all started because stupid Marjorie decided she wanted to say something ridiculous about Jasmine Crockett's eyelashes, and she was mocking her for wearing false eyelashes, and she said, "I think your fake eyelashes are messing up what you're reading." And so there was this big eruption where she was told she couldn't say that, and then she was asked to have her words stricken down. She said yes, but then Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said, "You need to apologize, because you can't just say those things and then just not say you're sorry for saying them. I think you need to issue an apology to Ms. Crockett." And she was like, "I'm not apologizing." And then she was like, "Well, I don't think then that you need that we should those words should be allowed to be stricken from the recording or whatever transcript." and then that like stopped, and then she refused to talk back and forth. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez refused to talk back and forth, and she said something about, "Yeah, you don't have the Marjorie to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who has a bachelor's degree in something, economics or something like that. But she said, "You don't have enough intelligence to debate with her," saying that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez didn't have enough intelligence to debate with Marjorie. It's like, really? Come on. But then later on, Crockett, Miss Crockett, Crockett, is that the last name? Yeah, Miss Crockett. She was like, Jasmine, she was like, I just want to kind of ask just for clarification. What are some things that can be said? Because if she's not going to get in trouble for saying those things, can someone just talking about somebody? So if someone on this committee then starts talking about somebody's bleach blonde, bad built, but butch body, that would not be engaging in personality, correct? So that was fun. And then like the person that like the speaker of the committee didn't understand what she was saying. And then like a bunch of people were saying, oh, those need to be stricken. And she was like, I'm just trying to get clarification. Don't tell me to calm down because y'all talk noise and then you can't back it up. Because if I come and talk shit about her, y'all gonna have a problem.
That sounds about right. Also, yes. I've been through it. Ocasio-Cortez has 2 degrees in economics and international relations.
Economics, that was what I was thinking of, yeah. So yeah, it's like she, if anyone is, I mean, I don't think really anyone is really designed to be in Congress. I think someone that has a degree in economics and should, like, that they're more than likely more qualified than someone who barely has a high school diploma.
True. You would think sometimes, though. I don't know. Some of these people that are in office are supposedly really, really smart.
Man.
But I'm just not seeing it.
And then the other thing I wanted to talk about, which we don't really have to talk that much about it, but the guy, the football player that was giving a speech basically saying that
God.
Women are designed for being housewives and it's good that you got your degree, but you'll be more excited when you get married and start having kids. It's like, what year are we living in, dude?
And like, what's hilarious is that guy, his mom, extremely
is a professor. Educated. Yeah.
Like, and it's just like, it just goes to show that it does not matter, like, what kind of women a man has in his life, that he'll turn out however he's going to turn out, apparently.
Yeah, it's insane. But we don't have to talk too much about that. We can jump into the DE&I topic and then the topic of code switching. So the main reason we had a DE&I summit at my work, where so diversity, equity, and inclusion summit. And we talked about a bunch of different topics. So there was like Asian American heritage. There was inclusive language when talking about diversity in conjunction with like disabilities and learning disabilities. So those types of things were included as well. We also had a section on supplier diversity. So working with more companies that are LGBTQ owned or like veteran owned or small businesses that are like someone from minority owns and operates them, black owned businesses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that was one of the topics in that was also the topic of code switching. And they were talking, I didn't get to listen to too much of it because I had to step out for another meeting at the same time. And I came in at like the last 30 minutes of it. But it was interesting to hear about code switching and how it operates. And like in some places you could see code switching as like a negative thing because someone is pretending to be something or they're hiding a part of themselves. But there are ways that it also benefits the company and like benefits the person in some ways.
Okay. Well, I'm here for these topics of conversation. I did pull up an article about code switching because I think the only things I've really heard in the past about code switching have all been that it can be an extremely negative thing for individuals who participate in it, specifically because they feel it that they have to.
Yeah.
So examples being like changing up how they speak, like if a black person changes up how they're speaking when speaking to a police officer, for example, because they're doing that trying to show that they are not a danger, etc., which can be really damaging to your mental and emotional health because you kind of learn to be afraid of the person that you are because you can't be that person and be protected. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think I was just looking over the article that you sent, and at the bottom there's, or closer to the bottom of it, there's a section that talks about reasons for code switching. And part of it is like better express themselves. So when people are not able to express themselves adequately in one language, they often switch to another language. So like even I think like for me, what you're saying, code switching is seen as you're changing the way that you talk or the way that you speak. And then there's also the side of code switching where you're trying to express something, like say something in English, say, and then instead of saying it in English, you may switch to your first language, because you can say it better in your first language. And then someone else that has maybe a little bit more of the ability to translate that into an English language, like that an English equivalent, can step in and say, okay, this is what they mean when they're saying it in this language. So that's, right. I think that's an interesting, that part of it is an interesting way to look at it. I think everybody typically sees it from that negative point of view that you're talking about, where it is what you were saying, where they're hiding a part of themselves because it might be dangerous for them to show that side in the setting that they're in, which that is a big part of code switching. It's partially, I always think of it as a way of someone to kind of match their surroundings and make sure that they're presenting and they're given the same like opportunities as someone that is speaking or doing the same thing that they're, the way that they're kind of code switching to. So I can see how it's a little damning and a little damaging to some people. And like even myself, I mean, I don't always speak the way that I'm speaking now. Everybody has like their quote unquote phone voice, right?
Right.
Like everybody has their professional voice where it's not like, I might deepen my voice a little bit and be a little less frilly with my hand gestures while I'm talking in certain settings, because it's not as professional to speak with like the kind of, I don't think I have that much of like a little bit of a more gay voice, we'll say that quote unquote gay voice, but it is a little more feminine sometimes, I can tell. And even listening back to this, it's like I hear myself more because I edit these, so right. I know what I sound like sometimes. So it is that, and it's interesting because you'll see people speak one specific way and then in a different setting they completely talk differently. I think the biggest kind of most interesting example of it is a TikToker influencer. She will talk in like her regular, like her personal voice, and then like there's clips where she's a newscaster and she sounds completely different.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I've seen a couple of TikTokers who are like that, and it's really fascinating to me. But yeah, no, I agree. Everybody has, like, if you've had to work in customer service, you have a different customer service voice. Like, I don't know anybody who's worked in customer service who does not have a different voice that they use when they're actually working versus when they're just chilling. It's funny. It's interesting that you deepen your voice sometimes, whereas I let my voice go a little higher.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if the more feminine a woman acts, the more likely the person on the other end of the phone is going to be polite to them.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, other than misogyny built into the system. But it's true. It has been my experience. If I talk to somebody with my regular voice, there's a very different way that they treat me versus when I sound a little bit higher and I'm a little bit peppier and I'm just,
yeah. And I can say, I mean, I think I haven't noticed it all that much, except for every now and then. I've only worked in customer service for a very short period of time because that's not my life. It's not the life I want. Nothing against people that do like to work in customer service. There are people that enjoy working with customers. I am just not one of them.
Yeah.
But like there were times when I worked at like movie gallery back in the early 2000s when there was a movie rental store around somewhere.
Where
when I was interacting with customers, I would kind of, like I said, deepen my voice because I worked in a small town, and like you could tell when someone didn't like speaking to someone that they perceived as gay, they would treat them worse or they would treat them like they were less of a person.
Yeah.
So code switching, I think most people always relate it to like the Black and Hispanic group,
yes,
because
they have to put on their white voice.
They have to put on their white voice where they're talking more Like they may inflect more in their language, or they may not use as much code, like not code names, not use as many
AAVE, African-American vernacular English.
Yeah. So not like they'll use more of a quote unquote traditional speaking that isn't saying, I mean, I'm not saying that's the right thing to do. And it's, I don't think it's okay. And it, like you said, it does damage someone's mental health just by making them kind of switch between, between talking like they would regularly on a regular basis, and then how they would to, like you said, if they were in a interacting with a police officer, they may realize I need to switch the way that I talk because it's safer for me to speak like this than it is if I were to speak the way I typically do. Or if I speak the way I typically do, I might be, they may see me as, oh, this person may have stolen this car because I'm in a really nice car, but I'm speaking the way that I typically would.
Right.
And not something they would typically see.
Right.
So it's an interesting concept of code switching. And I mean, I think we talked a little bit about a couple of options or a couple of different ways. But the most interesting, I think the not the most interesting one, but the more interesting one that I don't typically think about is the one where they're switching from their first language to English and they're trying to understand and realize, like, they're thinking about it in their mind before they say something. What is this going to sound like to a traditionally English speaker? So that's how I need to speak. It's not going to be the way that I would say it in my first language, because that may not make sense, or they may not get it, or it may come across wrong.
Right.
And that's not typically, to me, that's not what typically I think of when I think of code switching. So it was interesting to hear that in the discussion and then read that in the articles that we've taken a look at.
Yeah, I think that's pretty interesting. I had never realized that until I pulled up this article. So the definition for code switching is a linguistic phenomenon in which speakers switch back and forth between two or more languages or language varieties in the context of a single conversation or utterance. And that definition comes from Rampton, 1995. So it's interesting because I had never thought about it as being a linguistic thing, but it is. It and especially the switching between your first language and, you know, English.
Yeah.
I think it's really fascinating to me.
Yeah, and I think the article that you sent over with the like code switching definition and then the example where it says in a classroom, schools require students to use standard language expression, and those growing up in a minority communities must code switch. So the African-American children, for example, consistently switch between the African-American vernacular English and then standard English. So it's like, in one way, we're doing more of a disservice to the people that grow up in those minority-based communities, because we're saying you're not speaking right just because you're speaking in like that specific vernacular. So it's like, how do we, as an educator, how can we use the vernacular or the inflection that they use in their voice, and how can we use that and have them articulate the same information in the same way that they would typically speak, but also presenting like their requirements and the information that they're supposed to, that they would traditionally do in like the standard English. I don't like the way that's worded, the standard English, but I understand that from a clinical educational standpoint, there is a quote unquote standard language that there are standards and requirements that someone has to meet in order to pass for
a grade. Standards don't include like all the variety of language. It's just the basics, the things that you need to understand to function in the language itself is what it's supposed to be. Because standard language also does not include like things like slang or you know, expressions, things like that. What you looking at?
Oh, I was drawing.
Oh.
I was writing stuff on, we had a meeting earlier this week about a system that we're looking at using. So I was writing notes on this random scrap of paper because I had my remarkable notebook. So like the digital notebook, it was in my bag, which is all the way over there. So I was writing notes, and then I was like blacking out, or not blacking out, coloring in one with a light blue marker.
Oh, okay. Good for you.
I was doodling while you were speaking.
I'm so, so grateful that you pay attention to me.
I was paying attention.
I'm teasing.
Jeez. You know what we, you know what they say, people learn differently. Just because I'm not paying attention and I'm writing, that's the way I absorb the information, Sarah.
Is by not paying attention.
That's not what I was doing.
You literally just said not paying attention.
I'm not focusing on you. With my eyes and face.
With my eyes and face. I love that. Anyway.
Was there anything else you wanted to talk about in code switching and your thoughts on it?
I think I don't have anything else to say on it other than it gave me a good chance to look some things up and learn more about it than just the negative aspects.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. I like learning new things.
Yeah. Well, but so before we started recording, you were talking about school and how your student loans are coming up for payment. Are you thinking about looking into going back to school now?
I want to go back to school, but here's my problem is that I don't feel like I'm in a space at this moment to be able to accomplish what I need to accomplish. Because I basically just rushed right back in to school after everything with having cancer and, you know, all that. And that might not have been a healthy way to cope.
No.
I know, weird. So I had this thought in mind that I would take, you know, the fall off and go back in the spring, but I got the notice saying, oh, your student loans are coming due June 8th, and I'm like, the fuck, they want me to pay like $270? And I was like, you're hilarious. I'm not doing that.
Also, isn't there like a 6 month, well, when did you stop going to school?
I literally only just withdrew from my classes this last semester.
But how long? So they would backdate it to whenever you were enrolled, like for full time. So I think the withdrawal gets taken away. Like those classes don't count towards the 6 months. It goes back to the last time you took the last group. So your last
term. I was enrolled in the fall as well.
Like, and when did it end?
The December.
So that's probably the 6 months. June would be the 6 months.
Oh, yeah. That would explain it.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can always look at the income based repayment. And it's like if you make under, I think it's if you make under like $36,000 or something like that as an individual, then it's like you have a $0 monthly payment.
I absolutely make less than that. Currently, let's see, how much do I make currently? So, I don't even make $14,000 a year at the current position.
So it says, because your required monthly payment is a percentage of your discretionary income, your payment will be $0 if your discretionary income is $0. For example, 225% of the poverty guideline amount for a family size of one in the 48 contiguous states is $32,800, which means if your annual income is equal to or less than $32,800 and your family size is just yourself, your discretionary income is $0 and your monthly payment will be $0.
Okay, well, that's good.
But you do have to sign up for the plan.
Yeah, I have to go through and do that. But yeah.
I unfortunately could not do that because I do not make $32,000. And if I did, I would not be able to live where I do.
Right. I mean, I'm not able to live where I do currently on just one job. So I gotta find.
I don't know anywhere where they would be able to live in on that much. On that 14,000. Little, well, like, I mean, 32,000. Like, I don't know anywhere where you could live on $32,000 a month.
I don't either.
Rent alone would be, that's more than half of your payment, your pay.
Yeah.
After taxes and everything, that's more than half of your pay. Even if you just pay $1,000 a month.
So my rents. So when I did the math, I would make yearly $13,444. Okay. My rent for for, you know, the whole year would equal $11,232.
Yeah.
So, like, that doesn't include all my other bills I have to pay. Anything. That's just rent. So, it's wild. This is why I need a second job.
So, this is completely off topic. But speaking of, have you looked into the state insurance? I know you said you don't have insurance. This is getting very personal, Sarah. Are you okay with going forward with this conversation?
Oh, yeah. No.
Because we've really pivoted to a completely different conversation than what we were talking about. But we're talking about diversity and equity. This is part of an equitable conversation.
That is true. That is true.
And we're being inclusive of your
economical
situation. I just had a stroke there again. I don't know what happened there.
Oh my God. But yeah, no, I do not currently have insurance. I'm going to look and see what kind of insurance I can get, because I desperately need insurance, actually. I have so much medical work I need to get done. I have so much dental work I need to get done. I need new glasses. I'm a hot mess. Anyway, but yeah, I'm definitely planning on looking into it. I just haven't yet. The last few days, I've not really done a whole lot other than hang out with Bobby. So
in 2024, there's approximately 2.57 million. Oh, that says Californians. Well, that's not what I wanted.
You're like, how many people are uninsured?
Yeah, this is as of 2022. It says as of 2022, 92.1% of people had health insurance at some point during the year.
So according to the Peter G. Peterson Foundation.
Ah, yes. Peter G. Peterson.
In 2022, 26 million people, or 7.9% of the population, were uninsured.
Crazy. So,
yep.
I don't know that I could live without insurance, but I work at a very good company that has relatively good insurance. Although I haven't really had to use it, so that's good as well.
I don't think I've ever had really good insurance. Yeah. I had okay insurance.
I will say when I was young, I had the state's insurance. So it was whatever, Medicaid, Medicare, whatever it is. Hmm. It's Medicaid, right? For the state insurance.
I think so.
Medicare is when you're older. So I had that because we were poor. We were very poor.
I mean, same.
So we had Medicaid and it paid for like everything.
Yeah.
Like we never had to worry about getting a bill. So like anytime we had to go to the doctor, anytime we had to go get our eyes checked, anything like that, like we had to do it regularly. Otherwise we would get kicked off of the insurance.
Right.
So like regular checkups, like annual, I think it was like 3 times a year for dental and then once a year for vision. And it would always get like, it would be paid. So it's, right. It's a good option. And I don't understand why we don't have a universal healthcare. Did you see the thing that just recently came out? It was Warren Buffett was uh-uh. talking. He was giving a speech somewhere and he said, if all of the, I think it's like 60 or 30 some billion dollar companies actually paid the 20% in taxes that they're supposed to pay, no other American in the United States would have to pay taxes.
Wow.
Because it was like just his company alone paid over $5 billion in taxes. And that was only 21% of their their profits for the year.
Wow.
Insane.
That's so, only that. And the thing is like, that's only 21% of their profits.
Yeah. So like it's crazy how much money some billionaires make. It's insane. And it's kind of disgusting. Doesn't make any sense. And I don't understand why people aren't pushing more for universal healthcare, because I get the concept, but you have to think about it like this. Like if you work for a company, more than likely you're required to have insurance through that company if you make a certain amount of money. I think really if you work full time, you're required to have insurance through your business, unless you can say you have insurance through somewhere else.
Right.
So it's, and the company pays for part of it. So most of the time, I don't know that that's true everywhere, but most places the company pays for part of it. And you have to think about it. It's like, you're not using your insurance. So like I was saying earlier, I think I've only used my insurance maybe like this year, it's a little bit more because I'm seeing doctor a little bit more regularly. But until this year, I didn't go to the doctor very much. unless there was an issue or something happened and I needed to go see like urgent care or something. But it's like every month I'm paying, or every paycheck I'm paying like 90 some dollars. But that's so that the people that do need to use it, they have the money there. I also saw something, and again, this is just a video that I watched, so I haven't, there's no context or I haven't looked into it much. But there was a guy that was talking about insurance companies, and this is more like car insurance companies, I'm assuming, or life insurance companies, I'm assuming, where if they have a claim or they have a payout, they don't necessarily always have the capital to pay that payout. So some of the times they have to get insurance for themselves.
Right.
Which is insane.
Yeah, agreed.
My thing is, money is fake.
Yeah, we literally made everything up.
It's not real. And like, there was someone talking about it. Why can't you just print more money? And then someone was like, oh, well, it has to match how much gold we have. And it's like, there's no way we have that much gold.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. That is the biggest fictitious thing I've ever heard.
So now, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I literally was thinking about this the other day, because I was thinking about exchange rates.
Yeah.
You know, currency exchange rates. And I was just like, okay, but who determines, like, who's like, oh, okay, this is the standard. Like, how do you do that? How do you determine any of that? Like, it's all fucking made up. What the fuck?
I mean, there is, so it is all made up, but it's all like, it's all made up, but there is like a specific place that I don't remember what it's called, but there is, but a specific, yeah.
It's like,
who makes up the exchange rate?
Like, I don't understand. Maybe I don't want to understand sometimes. Also, I don't know what it is about. This is completely off topic. I just happen to like glance at myself while we're doing this. And my teeth look white in this lighting.
That is because, oh, and I have something funny to tell you, but that is because Zoom has this feature where you can turn on a whitening, like a teeth whitening feature as well. But it also could be the lighting that you're into. If it's more of a blue light, they'll look whiter, because blue cancels out yellow. But interesting, funny thing. I was watching the DE&I videos, and this one section of it, and I'm not going to say what section, but there was this woman that was talking, and I don't know what setting she had on, but it was turned up to the max, because like her teeth, they were just one single square or rectangle whenever she would talk to a certain mouth opens, like opening. Opened her mouth to a certain like wideness, her teeth were just like one singular rectangle because of how much she had the whitening turned up. Or maybe she had her green screen effect turned on and it was messing with her teeth too, because her teeth were shiny or whatever. So a lot of times if something's super reflective, it goes green screen.
Yeah.
But it's like, I was like, dang, she has her teeth whitening option turned to the max.
No joke. Jesus. I didn't even know that was an option, to be honest.
It is. There's a lot of there's beautification options. Make me beautiful.
I mean, I'm already beautiful. So
let's see. If we go to, we're not going to play with this. There's like a camera settings.
We're not going to play with it, he says, as he goes to play with it.
I'm not playing with it. I was looking at it, but I'm not, because that would be very boring for the people that are listening. The six of them that are listening, and one of them, one or two of them being me on different platforms.
One or two of them being me on different platforms.
I did want to talk to you about potentially collabing with the person from One Nothing podcast.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I sent a little note with the shirt or sweater, and she received the sweater. I think it was like yesterday or something. I put in a little note that it would be fun to maybe collab and do guest on One Nothing podcast once or something. Have you listened to any of it?
I think I've listened to one or two episodes.
I'm
following her on Instagram.
Yeah, it's very like kind of true crime, but also like crazy events that happen. I think the last one was like, I didn't get a chance to listen to the last one, but from what I can see on what she's posting on Instagram, it was like animal attacks.
Mm.
So those, I think there's been a few. the few that I've listened to, it was like animal attacks. There was, they did an interview with a police officer where he was talking about his experience on the force. So it would be interesting. I don't know what we would, like how we would cross collab, because we don't really talk about those types of things, but we can always like get a topic to review because we're good with doing that.
Nice.
And I don't have really anything else to talk about.
I don't really either, to be honest. Like, there's not a whole lot going on.
Are you doing anything fun this weekend?
Other than hanging with Bobby? No, not really.
Now, have you been driving for Uber any?
Not this week, no. But I need to. I originally was going to go out and drive tonight, but I forgot my glasses at work. And I can drive without my glasses, but I don't want to drive at night without my glasses.
Yeah.
And at night is the best time to drive.
Were they closed today?
Who?
Your work?
No, we were open today. I had left work already. I was already almost all the way home when I realized my glasses are not on my face. So, but I'll get my glasses tomorrow when I go into work. And so I'll probably drive tomorrow night and maybe drive for like the lunch rush on Monday, maybe.
Yeah. See
if I can conjure.
Well, not next week, but the following week is a holiday.
Yes. Memorial Day.
You might be able to drive that day. And it's like what are they called? Surge pricing where you could make more money.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if I would deal with people in traffic that well during surge pricing. I don't like being stuck in traffic.
I also do not like being stuck in traffic. That is the only major downside to my job is just the amount of time I have to spend getting back and forth because of traffic. Today wasn't too bad because it's a weekend, so the weekends aren't as bad. But like Friday was a mess. Like, today and tomorrow will be fine, but yesterday sucked. Because I know that y'all don't know this until right now, because I'm telling you. But we're recording on Saturday rather than Friday because I got stuck on I-35 because of an accident. Anybody who might happen to be listening and has, lived in Texas knows how awful I-35 is. That's the only downside, I think.
I thought we could play a BuzzFeed quiz or two. I
love that, because why not?
So the first one I sent you. 2000s
playlist, and we'll guess your hair color.
And then I just sent you another one that is guess my favorite season based on cakes.
Okay. All right.
So we'll do the first, the make a 2000s playlist, and we'll guess your hair color. So first, pick a song from 2000. In the End by Linkin Park, Miss Jackson by Outkast, The Real Slim Shady by Eminem, or Yellow by Coldplay.
Okay.
I wouldn't listen to any of these.
Really? Oh, I would listen to all of these. But I was going to go with the one that I listened to the most during that time frame.
Miss Jackson.
The Real Slim Shady.
I don't like any of these songs. The one that I tolerate would be Yellow by Coldplay.
I do love Yellow. It's a good song. All right. 2001, Get Your Freak On by Missy Elliott. How You Remind Me by Nickelback. Survivor by Destiny's Child, or The Middle by Jimmy Eat World.
Survivor.
I'm torn.
That's a song, but it's not. Is that 2000s?
It is. No, I think Torn is from the 90s. I think it's 98 or 99. Natalie Imbruglia, I think is her name. I'm going to go with The Middle by Jimmy Eat World.
2002, It's Complicated by Avril Lavigne, Lose Yourself by Eminem, The Scientist by Coldplay, or Work It by Missy Elliott.
Well, I was obsessed with Complicated.
I'm choosing Work It by Missy Elliott because I think that's a fun song to listen to.
It is a fun song. All right, 2003, Crazy in Love by Beyonce featuring Jay-Z, Heya by Outkast, Mr. Brightside by The Killers, and Where Is the Love by Black Eyed Peas. With Mr. Brightside.
I don't know that I like any of these songs. I do like Crazy in Love, though. It's an okay song. I don't know that I would want to listen to it all that much, but I'll choose it because I don't really care for the other ones. 2004, Boulevard of Broken Dreams by Green Day, Holla Back Girl by Gwen Stefani, Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson, or Yeah by Usher featuring Lil Jon and Ludacris.
Fuck.
I know, this one's difficult.
This one's hard because I want all of them. Okay. I'm going to go with Boulevard of Broken Dreams just because I have like a really very specific memory about listening to that song for the first time.
I'm going to go with Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson because I love Kelly Clarkson, and her album was the first album I listened to while I was driving the first time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. 2005. Dontcha by the Pussycat Dolls featuring Busta Rhymes. I Write Sins Not Tragedies by Panic at the Disco. Pawn Day Replay by Rihanna. We Belong Together by Mariah Carey.
This one's hard too.
This one is hard.
And the only reason I say it's hard is because Dontcha is a fun one to listen to if you just want to like bounce.
Yes.
Bounce to it and like Don't sing along to the song.
Like me.
I Write Sins Not Tragedies is a fun one to listen to if you're kind of a little bit in a moody situation, yeah. But fun to listen to.
Fun to replay. Fun to dance to.
Another one that's fun to dance to. And then We Belong Together, iconic song.
Iconic. You know what? I'm going to go with I Write Sins Not Tragedies.
I'm going with We Belong Together because that's more, I'll listen to all of them. But if I want to put one on a playlist, We Belong Together by Mariah Carey has to be on my playlist.
Yeah, I get that. Ooh, all right. 2006.
I just did the last one.
No, I just did the last one.
Did you? I thought that was me.
All right. No, I'm pretty sure that was me.
Okay, well, 2006, Chasing Cars by Snow Patrol, Hips Don't Lie by Shakira featuring Wyclef Jean, Rehab by Amy Winehouse, or Welcome to the Black Parade by My Chemical Romance. I have to be honest, I don't know that I've heard very many songs from My Chemical Romance, which shouldn't surprise anyone.
I've heard a lot more now as an adult, but at the time, because I'm going through this playlist like songs I would have been obsessing over during those time frames. So I was not into My Chemical Romance at all in high school. Panic at the Disco, Fall Out Boy, for sure. My Chemical Romance, no. So for me, it was Hips Don't Lie because I also have always been obsessed with Shakira.
I am choosing Rehab by Amy Winehouse because I love Amy Winehouse.
Are you going to watch the new Amy Winehouse movie?
Probably not.
Fair. All right. 2007, Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis, Girlfriend by Avril Lavigne, Low by Flo Rida featuring T-Pain, or Umbrella by Rihanna featuring Jay-Z.
Well, I know what one I would put on. So not only what one I would put on a playlist, but what one that I had playing almost extremely exclusively on my Facebook page. No, was it Facebook? MySpace.
MySpace
was, yes, Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis.
Yes. I was going to say, if she so does for, not pick Bleeding so for, Love by Leona Lewis.
So for those of you that are little bitty and young, MySpace had an option where anytime you would go to someone's personal profile, you could choose to play a song. And mine, for some reason, stayed on Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis.
Oh, God. I had a few different ones over the time frame. But the one that I usually kept going back to was one by Emmy Rossum, Inside
Out.
She
had a few good songs back then, too.
Inside Out was the one I usually went with. I think for this, I'm going to go with Umbrella because I remember when Umbrella dropped and I was obsessed.
Yeah, it was a fun song. 2008, Gives You Hell by All American Rejects, Poker Face by Lady Gaga, Single Ladies, Put a Ring on It by Beyonce, or Viva La Vida by Coldplay. I have to be very controversial with this. I hate Single Ladies.
Really?
I think it's a stupid song. I've never enjoyed it. The only thing that I think is funny or that came out of it that was funny is the dance that makes people look stupid.
Fair.
Never liked that song.
I don't have an opinion on it, actually. I don't necessarily like it, but I don't dislike it either. No. It's just kind of, it's a song. For me, I'm torn. I'm torn between Poker Face because I have a very strong memory of the first time that I heard Poker Face because it was with you and we were driving around Bloomington. And then I also have like a deep abiding love for Viva La Vida by Coldplay. It's actually my favorite Coldplay song. So I think I'm going to go with Viva La Vida.
I'm going to go with Poker Face because Lady Gaga.
And finally, pick a song from 2009. Empire State of Mind by Jay-Z featuring Alicia Keys, I Got a Feeling by the Black Eyed Peas, Rude Boy by Rihanna, or Telephone by Lady Gaga featuring Beyonce.
This one's hard.
It's telephone for me.
This one's hard for me because I love I Got a Feeling by the Black Eyed Peas. I also really enjoyed Empire State of Mind. I really prefer Alicia Keys only's version over the Jay-Z version. So if it was Alicia Keys only, I would choose that one. Rude Boy, fun song to listen to. But I'm really torn between I Got a Feeling and Telephone by Lady Gaga featuring Beyonce. I'm probably going to go with Telephone because it's Lady Gaga and Beyonce. And I just spoke very ill of Beyonce, so I don't want people to kill me.
Okay, and mine got mine correct. It said what? My hair was brown. It says something tells me you have brown hair. Am I right? Yes, I do have brown hair.
Mine
except is a little bit that's blonde at the end.
Mine is not correct because what it says color? Unique color. I bet your hair is dyed a fun color like blue, pink, green, etc. Did I guess correctly? No, bitch.
No. Nope.
Mine is very much dark brown, almost black. I was gonna
say, you haven't dyed your hair since we were in high school.
Yeah, and it was a mistake back then.
All right, eat nothing but cake and we'll guess your favorite season. Okay, so the first to choose a cake is chocolate cake, funfetti cake, opera cake, or sponge cake.
I don't really care for cake, but I would choose, like, based on the pictures, I'm always going for one that either has a bunch of chocolate on it or fruit. And I'm more drawn towards, because it's kind of spring going into summer, this sponge cake, because it has really what looks like really good whipped frosting and strawberries. And I love strawberries.
Love that. I am picking funfetti cake because I love cake in all its various forms, except for angel food cake.
It's
a texture thing. I like the texture.
I like angel food cake, but my dad used to do this thing where we would get angel food cake and then he would put chocolate frosting over it. So good. And if you put it in the fridge, the chocolate frosting gets really hard. Really hard, but it firms up. So you're cutting through it and it's a nice little treat. I will say I would never ever choose funfetti because I don't like the flavor or the texture of the sprinkles.
That's fair.
Never have. Don't really understand the concept behind them, but that's just me. Next choose a cake is mocha cake, ice cream cake, marble cake, or vanilla cake.
And I'm real boring. I'm going to go with vanilla cake because I don't actually feel like vanilla is boring. And I get a little offended when people think that it is because, like, as a flavoring, like, vanilla is amazing. And also, we killed a lot of people to be able to use vanilla. So
Sarah is pro-genocide murder.
I'm not pro-genocide. Oh, my God. But I just feel like we should appreciate spices and flavorings more.
Yeah, I do love a vanilla cake, especially because people always say vanilla when they talk about something that's like boring or kind of the regular, the go-to. But when you think about it, vanilla is it's a exotic flavor because it's from Madagascar. Like, yeah. You can't actually grow in the like United States or anywhere.
Yeah.
Good vanilla comes from Madagascar.
Yeah, like good vanilla comes from places where it can be grown.
My choice is ice cream cake because I love ice cream cake. Specifically Dairy Queen ice cream cake because that there's chocolate on the bottom, vanilla on the top, and then in the middle, that ooey gooey Oreo cookie crumble.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. That's true. I do love me a good ice cream cake. The next cake options are bundt cake, matcha cake, strawberry cake, or chocolate walnut cake. And I have something controversial to say myself. I do not like nuts in my desserts, unless it's like a specifically nutty dessert, such as like pecan pie. I love pecan pie, but I do not want walnuts or any other kinds of nuts in my fucking brownies.
I have to say, that doesn't look like a chocolate cake. That looks like a brownie.
It does look like a brownie.
And I love... I am the opposite. I love chocolate and the combination specifically of chocolate and nuts because I love the nuts, Sarah. I love the nuts.
I know you do. I'm picking strawberry cake because I like strawberry cake.
These are all like the only one that is lightly colored in the picture is strawberry cake. It's on a white plate with a white background and then there's a cup with a pink handle on it.
Yep.
All the other ones are on black plates or dark brightly colored plates with very dark backgrounds. It's very funny the way that it kind of, to me, it looks like it's going to skew one certain way based on
how light the backgrounds are.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the chocolate walnut cake, even though I don't think it's actually a cake. Next choose the cake is cheesecake, chocolate fudge cake, pineapple upside down cake, or red velvet. Ooh, this one's difficult.
This one is difficult because I love red velvet cake, but I also love cheesecake. Even more so when they're combined, because we used to get that from Barnes & Noble Cafe all the time. I'm going to go with cheesecake.
I don't know. I love a good chocolate ganache.
That's fair.
I'm going to go with the chocolate fudge cake.
All right. Our next choose a cake is an easy one for me. Carrot cake, panettone, lemon cake, or ube cake. Never had ube cake.
Neither have
I. I don't like panettone. I love carrot cake. And lemon cake's okay, but it's carrot cake for me.
I think the carrot cake depends, because Ryan brought home some carrot cake from his work, and I started eating it and it was not good. And he said that people say that it's the best carrot cake in the Northeast. And I'm like, well, if this is the best carrot cake in the Northeast, it's slim pickings around here. Okay.
Right.
But I love carrot cake as well. Next option is blackberry vanilla. Ooh, that sounds good. Right. Cranberry orange loaf cake, pumpkin pie or pumpkin cake, or strawberries and cream cake. I feel like I took the strawberries and cream cake earlier. So this time I'm going to do blackberry vanilla, because I love blackberries and I love vanilla.
I also love blackberries and vanilla, so I'm also choosing blackberry vanilla cake. All right, choose a cake. Apple cinnamon cake, lavender cake, gingerbread cake, or peaches and cream cake.
None of these sound good.
I don't know how I feel about the peaches and cream cake, but I love me some lavender. I also love apple cinnamon, and I love gingerbread.
None of these sound good to me. The only one that I would potentially pick is if it specifically has to be fresh peaches and they can't be cut like that, because that's going to be soggy and gross very quickly.
Right.
But that would be the one that I would choose.
I think I'm going with gingerbread cake.
All right. Choose a cake. Neapolitan cake, wedding cake, very wide range of options, black forest cake, or coconut cake.
Well, I know you're not picking coconut because you don't like coconut.
I'm coming around to coconut.
Really?
Still not a huge fan of it, but if it's there, I won't not eat it.
I'm going with black forest cake because it's chocolate and cherries and cream, and how could I not?
Yeah, I'm going with black forest cake too.
All right, choose a cake. Triple chocolate cake, tiramisu, Oreo cake, or sticky toffee cake. Ooh, that sticky toffee cake looks good.
I love triple chocolate cake and I love tiramisu.
Tiramisu is great.
I will say I can make my own triple chocolate cake. However, I don't know that I've ever tried to make tiramisu. And if it's an option, I'll always choose tiramisu.
That's fair. I think I'm going to go with the sticky toffee because I really love toffee. And I just think that'd be amazing with cake.
And then lastly, choose one more cake. Mint chocolate cake, Texas sheet cake, coffee cake, or lemon poppy seed cake.
I have something else controversial to say.
You don't like mint and chocolate.
Correct.
It's not really controversial. There's a lot of people that don't like mint chocolate.
I just don't. I like in small little doses, like those Andes mints that we got crazy cracked out on that one time. The Trojan horse. Oh my God.
I miss the Trojan horse. RIP. No, Irish Lion.
Irish Lion.
Yeah.
The Irish Lion. I have so many good memories. Anyway, but no, I don't like mint chocolate, so I'm not choosing that. I'm going to go.
That also wasn't Andes mints. That was.
I thought it was Andes mints.
No, that was it was a dessert that we got there.
Oh, is that what we got?
Because they don't have Andes mints there. That's at Olive Garden. Or no, it was an Andes mint pie. You're right. It was Andes mints. It was an Andes mint pie.
I was like,
that's what it was.
Andes something was in there.
Yes.
I'm gonna go.
I was like, it wasn't Andy's mints, but it was an Andy's mints pie. That's what it was.
Yeah. Lemon poppy seed cake.
Ew. God, get something tested from you. I love coffee cake. Oh, yeah, this is right.
Mine is wrong.
Is your summer?
No.
Spring.
it gave me spring. Yes. It says your favorite season is spring. You love the feeling of a refresh being set when spring comes along. You feel more productive during this time.
I mean, you do live in Texas. It's not as rainy down there, I guess. I don't know.
It does rain a bit during the spring. April and May have like a lot of thunderstorms, but yeah, overall not too much rain.
I got autumn. Your favorite season is autumn. You love the flavors and spice that the season brings. You look forward to pumpkin season all year. Just true. I prefer autumn, fall.
I mean, autumn is my favorite as well.
Yeah.
So.
I like the colors. I like the clothes that I get to wear because I'm a sweater person. I even wear them in the summer because I'm insane. But I'm a fall autumn person.
Same.
And I will push a bitch named Autumn too.
I think it's funny that the first quiz that we took was correct about my hair color and wrong about yours. And then the second quiz that we took was wrong about my favorite season, but was right about yours. It feels very, very balanced.
Well, you want to do one more where we build a pizza to find out what our favorite ocean creature is?
Yes. I absolutely want to do that.
Okay. Sending now.
All right.
So everyone is like a certain ocean creature. Build a pizza to find out which one you are.
Boy. All right. Choose a crust. Normal crust, thin crust, stuffed crust, or cauliflower crust.
I'm going to be honest. I love a cauliflower crust.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm not going to choose it because that's not what I would want on my regular pizza. And I definitely am not choosing thin crust because what sociopath likes thin crust pizza?
So many people. It's so weird.
I don't understand. I would choose, really, if I could, and it was an option, deep dish. But I'm going to go with normal crust.
I love me a good stuffed crust, to be honest.
Yeah. So choose a sauce. So we're going to go traditional with marinara, a little spicy with pesto, a little American with Alfredo, or olive oil, which I don't know that I would consider that a sauce.
I'm going with pesto because I don't really like marinara that much.
Oh, I accidentally chose Alfredo, but I can change it. Okay, we're good. I if I'm getting a pizza, I want a traditional like marinara pizza.
Choose some cheese, mozzarella, cheddar, Gouda, or goat.
I think it's compulsory to have mozzarella cheese, so I'm going to choose an additional cheese and go with Gouda or Gouda, depending on where you're from.
I'm going with straight mozzarella because the more mozzarella, the better, especially fresh mozzarella. Ugh.
I don't know. I think it's compulsory. So you have to have mozzarella on there. So I was going with an additional cheese.
Fair.
Choose a topping. So bacon, pepperoni, sausage, or ham. And I will say I hate sausage.
I don't like any of these. I don't eat pork.
The only sausage that I do like on my pizza or from a pizza place was from Pizza Pantry in Spencer, which is no longer there.
They closed?
Somebody bought them out, and then I think the place that bought them out went out of business.
Dang.
And it's fine because it was a very like, Trump, America. People that bought them out. If I'm going to choose one of these, would choose pepperoni. You don't like bacon? What about turkey bacon?
If it's turkey bacon, sure.
Just a turkey alternative or like a pepperoni.
I like turkey sausage as well. I still don't like turkey pepperoni. I'm just not a pepperoni. I'm probably going to go with sausage. Just in my mind, it's turkey sausage.
This next one's easy for me.
This next one's also easy for me. Choose another topping. Onions, olives, spinach, or peppers. Olives.
Ew. I will say, so I don't like olives on my pizza, especially not black olives. I do like olives aside, like as like a snack. But if I would have chosen Alfredo, I would have chosen spinach. I didn't choose Alfredo and I chose pepperoni. So I'm going red onions. I don't like cooked peppers, but I also don't think spinach goes very well with marinara or pepperoni. Yeah,
that's fair.
Ooh. Is it my turn?
It is yes. Your turn.
Choose one more topping. Basil, pineapple, mushrooms, or extra cheese. I don't think this is a controversial opinion anymore. I think it's a divisive opinion. I love pineapple on my pizza. Not the pizza that I'm making currently, but I love pineapple on my pizza. I already got extra cheese because like I said earlier, mozzarella is compulsory. So I chose Gouda or Gouda. So I'm not going to choose extra cheese here. I'm going to choose mushrooms.
I think that because of the type of pizza that I was making with the pesto sauce, that I think that with the pesto sauce, the sausage and the olives are plenty, and I don't need to add pineapple to that mix.
Yeah, that would be an odd option.
So I'm going to go with extra cheese. Choose a drink to pair along with your pizza. Soda, iced tea, lemonade, or water.
I'm really weird, and I love having lemonade with pizza.
I literally was just gonna say the same thing. I really like lemonade with my pizza. I think that in this instance, though, I'm probably gonna need water, so I'm gonna go with water.
In this instance, and just in life in general as well.
I mean, yes, but like this particular, because the type of pizza that I just built, that's what I'm going.
Which side are you grabbing? Garlic knots, buffalo wings, boneless buffalo wings. I don't know why they specifically say boneless buffalo wings, cheese bread, or breadsticks. This one's a little hard.
Yeah, because I'm torn. I'm like, garlic knots or cheesy bread?
I'm between garlic knots, cheesy bread, or breadsticks, because I love a breadstick, especially a Chicago's Pizza breadstick.
Oh my God, yes. Ugh. Those breadsticks with the cheese.
Yes.
Ugh.
I really want pizza now.
Right? Same. I'm just like, dang, okay.
Oh, I might tell Ryan to bring pizza home because I don't want to cook.
I think I'm going to go with the cheesy bread.
I'm going to go with the garlic knots.
All right. Do you want any dip? Marinara sauce, garlic sauce, ranch, or no thanks?
Why is cheese not an option?
I don't know.
I'm going to choose garlic sauce.
I'm going to say no thanks because I feel like the current pizza I have is enough. It does not need a sauce.
And finally, how are you cutting it? Normal size triangle slices, normal size square slices, extra large triangle slice, slice it. I'm leaving it whole.
Jesus.
What kind of psychopath? I mean, I guess if it was like a flatbread pizza and it was like a single serve flatbread pizza, maybe, but still you would want to cut it to make it manageable to eat.
Right. I'm going to go normal sized triangle slices.
Yeah, that makes the most sense. Ooh.
I got Orca. You're more reserved and quiet, but you know you shine whenever you decide to let the spotlight find you.
And murder people.
You know. Orcas are not my favorite ocean creature.
Well, it doesn't. I said this wrong. It's not what is your favorite. It is what ocean creature are you?
Oh.
Based
do you
on.
Think that I'm reserved and quiet?
Yes, you can be in some settings.
Really?
Yeah. Huh, okay. Other settings, you're a bitch.
I assumed that bitch was what I was all the time.
So mine is shark.
Oh.
I don't know that I agree with it, though. It says you give off mean vibes and try to keep up a tough exterior, but you're a softy on the inside. I don't know. I agree with mean vibes.
No, I don't think I agree with the mean vibes, but I definitely agree with you put up a tough exterior, but you're actually a giant softy.
I don't know that I'm a softy. I'm kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it.
You're kind of an asshole, but you're also still a softy.
I'm nice to the people that matter to me. Put it that way. If you don't matter to me or you're not putting value into anything, I'm not very nice to you.
That's probably why it says you have mean vibes.
All right. Well, you ready to call
it? Everybody.
So if you would like to take these BuzzFeed quizzes, even though I don't really want to give BuzzFeed too much more special treatment, but if you would like to take one of these BuzzFeed quizzes, it will be linked in the description of the podcast.
Let us know your results.
Yeah.
Were they accurate?
I don't really know what I'm doing this weekend. Now that I think about it, I didn't talk about it.
I was going to ask you, but then you interrupted me asking about the quizzes.
Oh, no, that's not true. Ryan and I are going to see something tomorrow. He completely like took care of it and paid for it and everything. I don't remember. I blanked listening to him. So it's not that I don't remember. I know what it is, but I can't remember exactly what it is.
So it's kind of a surprise for you.
No, because it's a choir singing a certain Mozart thing. I don't know. I can't remember exactly what it is. And he didn't send it to me because he usually sends it to me. Oh, no, wait, did he? He may have. Un momento, por favor. But we're going to see that. And I'm kind of excited about it because I really like listening to choirs sing. And when he sent it to me, I was like, it's in a church. There's Jesus on a cross.
Oh my God.
He's like, it's not in a church. I'm like, it's in a church. There's Jesus on a cross. Chorus of Westerly is what it is, what the place is called. And it just says Mozart.
Well, that's exciting.
Upcoming event. Join the Chorus of Westerly at its various events throughout the year. Blah, 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 blah. Mass in C minor. Mozart, written for his wife, Constance.
I didn't know Mozart was married.
Yeah. Mozart's Mass in C major is considered one of the great choral works. That's a really hard word to say. The great choral works. Watch the Chorus of Westerly perform this beloved piece this spring. So we're going to see that. It was like $15 for tickets. And it's in an old church. And then we're going to get, well, before we go there, we're going to a place for lunch called Evie's Cocktails and Comforts.
Oh, that's interesting. Sorry, I was looking at Mozart because for some reason I thought he died like much, much younger than he did. I thought he was in his 20s when he died. He was my age when he died. Our age. You're the same age as me. I don't know why I specified that it was me.
Mentally.
Rude. Anywho.
Anyways, you want to call it a podcast?
Yeah, I think we can call it a podcast.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. If you like this episode, please give us a like, comment, and don't forget to follow or subscribe. If you would, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, as this will help get the podcast out to more people and help us grow. Feel free to follow us on social media. Our handle everywhere is at Now About That Pod. So if we don't come up in the search, we're not on that platform. And if there's something specific you would like us to discuss on the podcast, feel free to email us at nowaboutthatpod@gmail.com. Visit our website, www.nowaboutthatproductions.com, or you can leave us a voicemail or send us a text message with anything you would like us to discuss on the podcast. Our phone number is 765-557-4170. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great week since this will be coming out on a Monday. And Sarah, enjoy your weekend.
Thanks,
whatever may come.
Whatever may happen.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.